even buy that shit. And I don't care who he is, away from, I represent thug. And you ain't gotta give me my props or nominate me, cause damn it, I love this.
I don't know what this world's gonna be.
And you are tuned into CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal. Montreal, a city that I love, 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 love.
Future is Now is a podcast series exploring intersections between art and social change. Produced by Zed Galleries, Sharzad Arshadi, and Caroline Kunzli. The title comes from a song by German punk rock singer Nina Hagen. She sings, 1968 is over, it's over. Future is now. It's really going to be a better world. Her lyrics express our feeling that change for a better world is happening right now through the work of many. In each episode, Future Is Now will tell you these stories of change, stories of artists and art projects that inspire us. As you listen, we hope these stories will inspire you too.
Future is now.
Women, Life, Freedom, a revolutionary soundtrack. Hello. Welcome to another episode of Future Is Now. I'm your host, Shahrzad Arshadi. In this episode, I'm inviting you to listen to my conversation with Kaveh Abbasian about revolutionary art and most specifically, revolutionary songs that have been produced in the past months during Women Life Freedom's revolution. With Kaveh, we talked about his time in university and student movements in Iran, importance of art during revolutionary time, and most especially his thoughts about women, life, freedom, and of course about future and importance of hope. Kaveh himself is an artist, filmmaker, university lecturer, and political activist.
Joshua Zani.
I have to mention this interview was recorded a couple of months back on Zoom.
Talk about yourself, Bibi. Your background, most specifically, and what are you doing now?
Okay, sure. Thank you very much for this invitation. And it's a great topic as well. I am, as you have noticed, I do sometimes get a bit too outspoken about arts and revolutionary and protest art coming out of Iran, especially. And that is perhaps because I make films, which might categorize me as a filmmaker, but I'm also a lecturer, a researcher, you know. I lecture film and media at the University of Kent in the UK. But that is my life here in the UK after I finished my PhD in film and television studies at the University of Roehampton. Prior to that, you know, I came in 2008 to the UK as a political refugee from Iran, basically. And in Iran, I was a student activist, a left-wing student activist. I was in the first generation of left-wing student activism after the repression of the 1980s. As you know, there was a cultural revolution. For 3 years, the universities in Iran were shut down. The left-wing, secular, and just generally freedom-loving scholars and students were purged from universities. And then followed by the 1988 massacre of political prisoners. And then there is a couple of decades of of course, left-wing thought and demands existed, but not as a political movement inside the universities. So in early 2000s, when we started activism based around the demands of freedom and equality and socialism, that was quite a big shock for the authorities in Iran. So I'm from that generation. We set up an organization called Students for Freedom and Equality. We kind of like had many, we led many demonstrations and movements and campaigns across universities, and then followed by a countrywide crackdown in 2007, following our demonstration for the National Students' Day, which is in December, and then about 50. I mean, there's the numbers differ, but up to 70 of our members were arrested, and I went underground, and I lived underground for a few months, and until I realized that I had to leave the country, while many of my comrades were in jail. And then I eventually, after 6 months, ended up in the UK. You know, it takes a long time, and many borders and many lucky escapes to arrive somewhere safe. And that's the story.
Now we are in 2023, and revolution is happening in Iran. At least we are hoping. We focus on the songs that's coming out of Iran. But what do you think about this? And how do you feel when you see these songs are coming out?
It's fantastic. I couldn't believe it at first when the movement started. And I do call it a revolutionary movement because I think the aspirations and the demands are revolutionary and as a movement. And this is not something that we had 20 years ago. 20 years ago, there was a kind of like, the reformism in Iran had this had the grip on the society, and then it took quite a long while for the society to get over that, I would call, illusion, to arrive at a revolutionary moment and a revolutionary movement. Whether this revolution is going to be successful in short time and lead into a revolution per se is another matter. It's not only the songs themselves that are so interesting, but their reproduction in the streets and in university campuses are also very interesting. For example, Shervin Hajipur's song Baraye is great, but I liked a reproduction of it even more than the song itself. So there is a song, there is a moment at night in the middle of a street where no one is going around. There is a man, one single man on his own, has opened the car, doors of his car wide open, and he's playing this song, a remix of this song with a higher tempo, with a loudly, and he's just dancing in the middle of the streets around himself as if he's, I don't know, drunk, he's out of his mind, they're gonna come and get you, you're gonna get arrested. But this reproduction of this song, this revolutionary reproduction of this song, for me was even more inspiring than the song itself. And then it is after this, after the first few weeks of the movement, that we see an explosion of songs that came out of Iran. You know, for graphic art, slogans, wall graffitis on the walls in the streets, these are, you can do it in a matter of a couple of days. It's a little bit easier to get out there, or just, you know, in terms of the time that it takes to create a quick illustration, a quick poster with the slogan "Woman, Life, Freedom." But to create a song which needs a choir to sing, maybe takes a little bit more. That is why it's after the first couple of weeks that we see, and especially from the students, from music students, art students, students that in my time as a political activist in Iran, as student activist in Iran, these were the students that were the least interested in political activism. And I know this changes throughout history, but when I was a political activist, art students couldn't be bothered that much. I mean, they did care about their own internal affairs of their university or their faculty or their department. For example, my university, at some point they were like, you're not allowed to wear scarves anymore. You have to wear magne, which is something even more difficult to wear than the scarf. So, and the magne should be just only navy or black or gray, that kind of thing. So students would react, art students would react to that. Or for example, when they segregated the student transport, and they said men go to this one, women go to that one, that also sparks a protest movement which lasted a week in my university, which was the Art University of Tehran. But to come out in this number and with this level of enthusiasm and creativity in support of a revolutionary movement, this was so beautiful for me. As for my old university, on in its corridors and on its campus, students, while not showing their faces, singing a song based on El Pueblo Unido Jamás Será Vencido, the Barpachis Azjakam, Rise Up, and which can be the English translation, which was the song, it's a Chilean song from the 1970s, from the popular Unity, Salvador Allende. It's a song written and sang for the first time by a revolutionary kind of like left-wing folk band called Quilapayún. And then it was done again. It was performed again by Inti Illimani, which was another revolutionary left-wing, a socialist music band at the time of Salvador Allende's presidency. But then it became a revolutionary movement for so many other, inspired so many other Latin American revolutions, but also it came all the way to Iran. During the 1979 movement, we also had a version of this song in Persian, which was a little bit different. It went as Barpachis Azrakam Banay Kakh Doshman, which is, you know, rise up and take down the castle of the enemy, that kind of thing, which was, in that sense, was the castle of the tyrant, which was the Shah. So the students of the the Art University of Tehran did a new version of this song, which went like Barpachis Baraye Zan Zendegi Azadi, which is rise up for woman, life, freedom. And then they sang it, and then they recorded it. It was on video, but without showing their faces. And I thought that was incredible. And I think I tagged Quilapayún, the original singers of the song, the writers of the song, in a tweet that I did about that song. And I loved it when they retweeted that song. And I thought that was that was very nice. That was very beautiful. It was very inspiring. And I'm sure they loved that song.
Shabbat,
Then apart from that, there were other songs. For example, one of my favorite ones was Benam Dokhtaran Sarzamin Aftab, In the Name of the Daughters of the Land of the Sun, which was incredible. And these are the songs that for which we don't know who did the singing and who did the writing. You know, some of them I have, you know, the through circle of friends you get to know, but these are not public knowledge. There was another song which was very beautiful. It was Surud Aban, the song of Aban. Aban is the month that 2 years ago a countrywide massacre took place in Iran and as a result of a countrywide uprising, and then there is an up to the numbers differ, but there are up to 1500 people were murdered, killed in cold blood by the forces of the Islamic Republic of Iran. So this is called the Song of Aban. Oh, it's also, there's another title for it, which is A Karigar, oh worker, oh laborer. Which is also, you know, in terms of both the revolutionary rhythm and tempo and atmosphere of the music, but also in terms of its lyrics, all of these songs that I've written down and talk about, these are the songs that not only are revolutionary in their form, but also their lyrics are very progressive as well. And there are many others. I can go through them. For example, another one is Venceremos, which is another song from Chile, which was again translated and into Persian, into Surud Rahai, the song of liberation. Venceremos was also this, I think it was the song of, if I remember correctly, it was the campaign, election campaign song of Salvador Allende in Chile. And an alternative text for the lyrics for it was written by Victor Jara, who was later on murdered by the forces of Pinochet, Augusto Pinochet as well. So this is yet another song from Latin America, and specifically from Chile, that found its way in Iran with a very progressive lyrics, but also with a very progressive and revolutionary form as well. And there were other ones as well, if I remember correctly. And there was another song based on the southern Iranian mourning ritual of what do you call it, Senjodamam, which are the instruments that you use in southern Iran when someone dies in order to call their kind of soul back from the sea or that kind of thing. But also, it, for some reason, during the 1979 revolution, it found, this form found its way in the protest songs as well, especially because it was used at the beginning of a documentary, if I remember correctly, by Kianush Ayyari, in the name of Taze Nafasha, the young, I don't know, how do you call it, the newcomers, I don't know, about the new revolutionaries. So at the beginning of that film, it was used as because the film starts with the fire at Rex Cinema, which was a fire that killed up to 700 people during the revolution. And it starts with that. So this music came kind of like associated with that kind of imagery and that kind of protest mood as well. Forever about songs that came out during the last 4 or 5 months, and I find them incredibly inspiring as well, and especially because of this, as I mentioned, the fact that they are made underground by people on campuses and on the streets, and then the reproduction of these songs in many ways in revolutionary moments, that is, in my opinion, even more inspiring.
From 1979, all these songs came out, revolutionary songs. Sarumat Zemestun lived forever, I guess. People are still singing, and also people who are not for it, they're using it. What do you think, it's just a prediction, I don't know, I just want to, what do you think, which one of these songs will live like Sarumat Zemestun?
That's a good question. I think Sarumat Zemestun, one reason that it lasted is because it's actually based on Armenian folk songs. Oh. So, you know, the melody already existed. And if a song resonates like that with the people, not only with their musical culture, with their folk culture, with their heritage, but also in terms of the place it finds in a revolutionary movement, then that song can go forever. You know, Sarumat Zemestun, as you know, even the reformists during the Green Movement tried to kind of own the song, but unsuccessfully. It doesn't work that way. Or for example, in Italy, Bella Ciao, for example, you know, the Bella Ciao song, which again was reproduced during this revolutionary movement again, this is a song that comes from old traditions. It's like, you know, we often associate it with the partisan movement of the during the Second World War, but it actually goes a little bit further, even before that. And yeah, it's during certain revolutionary moments these songs find their moments. Or El Pueblo Unido Como Será Vencido from Chile becomes this revolutionary song, and Venceremos, because these are songs that are created during, you know, all of these Chilean music bands that I mentioned, they were part of a revival of folk Chilean music and a marriage of folk music and revolutionary ideals. And the same thing happens with Sarumat Zemestun, Zade Shole Dar Chaman, you know, these 1979 revolutionary songs, which come from, you know, Kurdish, Azeri, Armenian folk music and their marriage with revolutionary demands. I think if we can find something like that today that comes from certain traditions of either folk or protest songs, and then their marriage with the demands of today, then we can find those songs that are that can last forever. Shervin Hajipour's song, which is essentially a pop song and not necessarily a revolutionary song that you can sing in during a revolution, during a protest movement in the streets, that song is already kind of very famous international, and it's going to last for a very long time, I think, because, I mean, not least because it's won a Grammy Award and it's being done into so many different languages, French, German, English. So it's a long lasting song. But I think, you know, other songs that are performed with claps, which is with a rhythmic clap, which is kind of very associated with certain folk songs in Iran. For example, Avaz Leyla Ha or Bename Dokhtaran Sarzamin Aftab. These are the songs that I think can last for quite a long time. But also the songs that were a reproduction or a cover of Chilean songs, the Latin American songs, such as El Pueblo Unido, Bar Pachis, Baray Zan Zendi Azadi, or Sur de Rahai. These are the songs which are going to last because of the way they were performed. I can imagine students of the Arts University of Tehran for years to come will sing these songs as well. And it's also, I think, the long lasting of these songs is a lot also dependent on the on how long and on the level of revolutionary movement, revolutionary atmosphere that is kept alive. So, for example, this movement have been going on for up to 5 months now. And depending on how successful the demands of these movements are and how successful this movement is in lasting for a long time, then we would know how long these songs are going to last as well. And by the way, let's mention this, that when I was mentioning these songs today, I was mentioning mostly the Persian songs because I speak Persian, and I don't, for example, although I might have some Kurdish roots, and I don't speak Sorani Kurdish, which is the majority speaking Sorani language in Iran that way. I do have some understanding, but I don't. So I didn't want to get into things that I don't have much speciality in, or I don't have any speciality in Turkish, for example. So I kind of limit myself on the songs that were released, which were only in Persian as well.
Your songs. You produce songs too.
I just have an interest. So one day we were like, so, you know, I am from Mazandaran, of a Kurdish mother and a Mazandarani father. And then I thought, okay, of course, you don't need to worry about Kurdish songs and music because there's a lot of it already being produced. So I thought, why aren't there any Mazandarani songs? So let's do some Mazandarani songs, basically. So we sat down and not me, actually. I did give some opinion, but a friend of mine wrote a song in Mazandarani, and then I wrote and then I thought, so now that we are at it, we can do more. So I wrote a song in Persian, a lyric in Persian, based on a Spanish revolutionary song from the time of the Spanish Civil War, you know, between 1936 and 1939, the Reds and the Republicans against Franco and the fascists. So I wrote a song based on a song called A Las Barricadas, and which was the song of CNT, the Confederación Nacional Trabajar, the National Confederation of Workers, and which goes like la 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 la. So yeah, and then and my brother also wrote another song based on an Italian revolutionary song, and then we all sang this. Yeah, so we made three songs basically, and then one of us was in United States, one of us was in Italy, and I was here. And we just, with WhatsApp, we sent our voices to each other. And then one of us put some music on top of it. And then they became three songs. But we haven't really, and we did it recently, we haven't really released them anywhere.
Yeah, we love to be part, have it part, as part of this podcast, if you will.
All right. Yeah, why not? You can have them if you want. One or two or three.
Shenastere hekan mis babush yaver nakef pish babin neshmen chazare ame pir سی دار پیش همه جا مردمون بین بیدا خاخرون ره ببین بین جلودا صدازم بی همه شینای نومره بننوم هکارد قیام تین با برو با هم بووشیم جنگل دا همه با هم دوندیم راه خونخا زنون و مردون و وچگون همه یا دریای موج می نایر می غیرا شدست ره کن میس بابوش یا وردکف پیش ببین دشمن چه زاره همه پیروزی در پیش همه رفقون زندونی وسه مارون خاورون عصری وسه همه جوونای دلیری وسه تمون باهین ویرونی وسه برو راست ببوشیم نیشتنگ ناهه اگه تا بوشیم ظالم فناهه ببین این اتحاد نشکنه این با همه دشمن دیگه ندان نچاره شدست ره کن میس ببوش یا وردکف پیش ببین دشمن چه زاره همه پیروزی در پیش
I was the other day, 2 days ago, I was watching this indigenous artist, Canadian indigenous artist, and one sentence he said, I loved it. He said, art can be the most powerful instrument for change. What do you think about this sentence?
It is a very powerful instrument for change. I'm not going to go as far as calling it the most powerful because, you know, unfortunately... A revolutionary change demands so many other things as well. Sometimes, unfortunately, even violence. And as you can see from various successful revolutions throughout history, and as you can see during the as a result of the behavior of the regime in Iran, you know, it's just by singing a revolutionary song in front of the bullets, you cannot repel those bullets. But art is definitely a very important aspect of it. You know, art is important. Strikes in general, strikes are important. Workers, unions are important. Generally, revolutionary organizations are important. These are the things that we are lacking at the moment in this movement. Because of the heavy suppression of the Islamic Republic of Iran during its 45 years of reign and their crushing of any grassroots organization. So we need all of these things, I think. Art, an important aspect of this social movement and any other successful social movements. You know, I often bore my students by talking about the Russian Revolution of 1917, the Soviet Revolution of 1917, and how art played an important part in it, and how that revolution played an important part in advancing the arts as well. So it was a mutual relationship between us them. And the same thing you can find in other revolutions, including the 1979 revolution, a history of poetry and short stories, novels, poster making, filmmaking. The artists played an important part in this, in the 1979 revolution. And as you can see, this Woman, Life, Freedom, Revolutionary Movement is also very much in the eyes of the world, is associated with the art that it has produced as well. So I would say we've done very well in regard to the arts. We haven't done as well in regards to organization and grassroots organization and general strike, workers' unions, student unions, and so we need to be a little bit more kind of savvy when it comes to that aspect of a protest movement and revolutionary movement as well. Funnily enough, all of the songs that kind of were these songs that I mentioned and many other songs that are quite incredible coming out of this, none of them have anything to do with monarchism. And all of the famous songs and artworks coming out of this revolution have nothing to do with monarchism. And in fact, the few monarchists who tried to produce songs and revolutionary art, they
failed.
They really failed, and some of them are really quite hilarious as well. And that says a lot about the relationship of monarchism with a revolutionary movement based on the slogan of a woman, life, freedom, which stands in the polar opposite of anything and everything that monarchism would stand for.
Thank you. Now tell me, what is this woman, life, freedom revolution for you?
What is it for me? I think it's in the slogan, isn't it? It's probably the most complete, perfect slogan that we could come up with during this revolution. As you know, this slogan is not necessarily started with this revolution. It existed before as part of the Kurdish revolutionary movement and Kurdish feminist revolutionary movement. But even before that, you can go back through the history of socialist movements and all the way back to, for example, Karl Marx, who says the measure of a society's freedom can be measured only by the freedom of its women. And then because of that, I think this revolution is a resurgence of hope for a dream that by many was thought to be forgotten. And that is the hope for freedom and equality. And which is something that, you know, as a student activist in Iran, I also hoped that we would achieve. At the time, because of the strength of the right-wing opposition and the reformist opposition at the time, by many, you know, media and newspapers and politicians, we were made fun of for including equality after freedom and demanding both at the same time. But then this revolution proved, I think, this revolutionary movement proved again that the hope and the dream and those ideals are not forgotten, not only not forgotten, but they can create they are so strong that they can create a revolutionary movement, which I hope will be successful.
We see this incredible revolution is happening in Iran in 5 months now. It is 5 months, I guess. Five months. But we don't hear, because I, as an activist all my life, I'm 62 years old now, I'm an old woman now, but all my life, it wasn't for me, my activism, it was not only, was for Iran. For me, Palestine was there. For me, somewhere, I don't know if war in Iraq was there. I was in that demonstration as well. I was in many, many, because this is the internationalism is not just, you just talk about it. You have to be.
Yeah, you've done photography in Kurdistan as well, haven't you?
Yes, yes, yes. But now I see with this revolution happening in Iran, I don't see enough support from leftist movement out in West. And it is bothering me. People who are my friends for 30 years, and I was in many demonstrations with them for their causes, they are not with me. They are not supporting us. Why is this? What is going on?
it's a plague of the Western left, I think. It's a long standing problem, especially when it comes to Iran. But it's not only about Iran. I mean, I can talk about this for a long time, because this problem worries me and annoys me as well. But the Western left has been confused about Iran for a very long time, especially since the 1979 revolution. The 1979 revolution was clearly an anti-tyrannical revolution, no doubt about that. It was also an anti-imperialist revolution as well, because the Shah of Iran was supported by Western imperialism. So in that sense, it was both anti-tyrannical and internal tyranny and also anti-imperialist. Mm-hmm. And also at the time when 1979 revolution was happening, the world was kind of divided between the bloc of capitalism and the bloc of so-called existing socialism, you know, the Soviet Union. And because of that, at that time, there was a politics of campism has had kind of taken shape among the Western left. So basically anything, any movement, any government that defined itself for any reason against Western imperialism, the Western left felt kind of the need to support that entity, movement, government, whatever it might be. And although the 1979 revolution was anti-imperialist and had very strong socialist and communist tendencies in it, those tendencies were pretty quickly suppressed in the years following the revolution, because the faction of the revolutionary forces that seized the power and managed to consolidate the power as a result of the Iran-Iraq war and so many other factors were the Islamists, and were the extreme reactionaries of that movement, where they were very and they were the ones, in fact, who were supported by those very imperialist movement as well, you know, when the imperialist forces countries as well during the Guadeloupe conference. So when these Western powers, they realized that the Shah was a gunner, they had to make a decision between the Islamists taking part in that revolution and the communists taking part in that revolution. So if you leave it, the communists might win and Iran will become a whatever satellite of the Soviet Union. Yeah. But if you support the Islamists, you might actually prevent Soviet Union from gaining ground in Iran. So the West, you know, from United States, United Kingdom, and France, supported Khomeini and the Islamists. So the Islamists take power, they kill everyone else, basically, they massacre, they put everyone in jail. But then the left, the Western left, doesn't change its attitude towards the Islamic Republic, because at least in rhetoric, the Islamic Republic remains an opponent of the West, even though they were supported at the beginning and even during the war with Iraq by Western powers, by, for example, by the United States. The Western left remained a supporter or at least apologist of the Islamic Republic for a very long time. It took them so long to come to terms with the fact that maybe the Islamic Republic is not that great. Maybe they are not actually socialist. But even then, they did not go far enough to acknowledge the dynamics, the political dynamics inside Iran, and recognize the revolutionary forces of inside Iran who were working against the establishment, the political establishment of the Islamic Republic. As a result of this, we see that during the past 5 years, when there has been countrywide a protest movement inside Iran, countrywide uprising and countrywide massacres inside Iran, we see that the Western left remains a little bit iffy about supporting this movement. I'm not trying to generalize, because there are so many of either small parties or even workers' unions who do support. My own union supported the Woman Life Freedom Movement. It's with 165,000 members, the UCU, University College Union, we supported the Woman Life Freedom Movement. But then there were so many, you know, for example, in this country where I am, Stop the War Coalition's statement regarding Iran was a little bit, both-sided, you know. It's like, yeah, terrible, we support the movement, but also let's acknowledge imperialism and their role in what's happening in Iran as well. You don't need to do that. You can defend the movement in Iran, and you can criticize the massacre of protesters in the streets without necessarily blaming it on imperialism. You can blame it on Islamic Republic. Islamic Republic is very capable of killing without being pushed by imperialism. So, and then some of the, you know, the prominent activists, political activists, I'm not talking about academics, because academics were okay, actually. Academics did support the movement to a very large extent, and I did take part in one of the initiatives for that as well. But then political activists, so many of them, the ones that you expect to defend the movement, they don't come out in defense of it. You see so much of the right wing supporting the movement, and you would think that, I mean, no wonder so many people, some of Iranians even, get confused about who's their ally and who's their enemy as well, because they see these very people who in their own countries are the extreme right wing. You know, for example, they are against abortion. There are these so-called pro-life or anti-abortion movements, but then they support a slogan of woman, life, freedom in Iran. What's going on here? But it is because, I think, to an extent, lack of enough support from progressive forces inside Western politics.
Exactly.
But also, let's remember that the change, the real change, happens inside Iran. The revolution will take place inside Iran. That is one of my problems with the right wing of the opposition outside Iran, constantly just traveling between this and that presidential palace and demanding this and that kind of like photo opportunity with this and that extremely right wing politician. And all I can think of is that, why are you doing? I mean, what does it have to do with the movement inside Iran? Whether the president of the United States or France comes out and takes a photo with you or not, the revolution is taking place in Iran. And these foreign powers, these Western powers, they would either support or not support based on their own dealings and their benefits and their profits, not based on the demands of the people at Iran. That would be the last thing they would ever care about. Look at the 1979 revolution. And so I think while we do want the support of progressives in the West, where we are at least, we shouldn't overestimate the level of influence they can have on the movement inside Iran, because the movement will take place in Iran. That's why I don't have any kind of like hope for these so-called coalitions taking place in LA and Washington, D.C. But on the other hand, when I see the statement of these workers' unions and student unions coming out, that's what encourages me to do more. That is what's inspiring. This statement that came out yesterday, which was quite incredible, which was basic demands, but those basic demands are groundbreaking, I think.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you about that. That was beautiful. I was so happy reading that statement. It was gorgeous. And that's it. And it came out of Iran with about maybe 220 organization, grassroots organizations, unions, student organization, and they wrote this statement. It was incredible. Yeah, exactly. This is what's important, and that makes people our work more harder, because we don't want foreigner hands to come, because we had this experience during Mossadegh's time, and also during the revolution 1979, and we don't want that anymore. We had twice we had this experience, and we want what's happening in Iran. What change comes from inside. We don't need any hands. That's the thing. Maybe many of this Western left don't understand really the movements in Iran. That's why if they understand this, maybe they will be our real allies.
Hopefully. Yeah, but
yes, hopefully. But I like to maybe, and I don't want to take more of your time, but tell me about future. How do you see future? What is, do you have, how hopeful are you?
Oh, I'm very hopeful. But I do also like to say I'm very hopeful as well. There is a film by Fernando Solanas. It's called The South, El Sur. And in it, I think there's a moment there's one of these characters is like, you know, is about to die. And then because the forces of the dictatorship are invading his house or something like that. And then the thing he says is that, and then he's having a glass of wine, I think, is it with his wife? And then he says to hope, because that's the last thing we have. And I love that bit. It's very cinematic, and it's very poetic, it's romantic, you know, in a revolutionary sense. But I also, apart from being romantic, I think my hope actually has a ground in what's happening today in Iran, because I have seen so much enthusiasm for change, so much enthusiasm for freedom and equality. I wasn't this hopeful a few years ago. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if a revolutionary movement could come to life in Iran again or not. And that happened. And because of that, it's kind of like it has energized someone like me with so much revolutionary hope, at least. So I think I am hopeful in that sense.
With my gray hair, I'm energized. Imagine you.
Great. Mine's gone gray as well.
Yes. Thank you, Kavijan. It was so great talking to you. Thank you for accepting to talk to me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
I like to end this episode with one of the songs that I like very much. Azadi, Freedom, Horia, in solidarity with the Iranian Revolution. A song by Rami Esen, an Egyptian musician who is best known for his appearance in Tahrir Square in Cairo during the Egyptian Revolution of 2011.
نترسید نترسید مو همه بو هم هستیم 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 بترسید بترسید مو همه بو هم هستیم
بشر روی ماست بشر روی ماست آزادی بشر روی ماست آزادی بشر روی ماست آزادی 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 بشر روی ماست بشر روی ماست آزادی بشر روی ماست آزادی بشر روی ماست آزادی آزادی آزادی
زن زندگی آزادی زن زندگی آزادی زن زندگی آزادی زن زندگی آزادی
اگر با هم یکی نشیم یکی یکی کشته میشیم میجنگیم میمیریم ایران رو پس میگیریم اگر با هم یکی نشیم یکی یکی کشته میشیم میجنگیم میمیریم ایران رو پس میگیریم
بشر روی ماست بشر روی ماست آزادی بشر روی ماست آزادی بشر روی ماست آزادی 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 بشر روی ماست بشر روی ماست آزادی بشر روی ماست آزادی بشر روی ماست آزادی آزادی آزادی
Thank you for listening to Future Is Now. I'm your host, Shahrzad Arshadi. Until next time, goodbye.
You've been listening to Future Is Now, a podcast series exploring intersections between art and social change. Produced by Zed Gallery's Shahrzad Arshadi and Caroline Künzli. This project was made possible by funding from the Canada Council for the Arts.
Future is now.
What's up, Montreal? It's your boy, Freddie V, representing Eclipse and the Community Vibe Collective, yo. Just bigging up your local community radio station, Montreal's only 90.3 FM, CKUT. Boom, 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 boom.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
It's March, and you know what that means. It's les rendezvous de la francophonie.
Check out rvf.ca to discover all the activities and contests happening across Canada.
Heavy Trip and CKUT present an evening with Revenge International recording artists Horse Lords and Colbert. A new Grammy double whammy. Chock-a-block with Sonic Tomfoolery. Live at Sotrinia on Saturday, March 16th. Tickets on sale now. For more information, visit www.google.com.
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We have been running a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters for the last couple years, and the phone number has recently changed. You can now reach us at 438-858-6116. We would like to thank Fed Phone Line for providing us with this number for free. They wanted us to tell you that they help save money to inmates' family and friends by reducing the cost of collect calls. For more information about their company, you can go to fedphoneline.com. So again, our new number is 438-858-6116. You can call us collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere de Prairie Prison at that number. As always, we're an all-volunteer collective and don't always manage to answer the phone. If you can leave a message, please do. If you're calling collect and we don't pick up, try again next time you can get to the phone. And again, our phone number is 438-858-6116, and you can call us collect from Riviere de Prairie Prison or Bordeaux Prison.
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Good night, good night, good night. To everybody out there, the radio land. This is the Sound of Soul with your host, Butcher T. Filling in for the man, Ricky D. Playing the platters that matters, like Ricky D would say. And also, you can check me out every Friday right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Butcher T's Noontime Cuts every Friday from noon to 2. Playing a wide variety of music. But right here on the Sound of Soul, a little bit of mediocre R&B, then we get into the Quiet Storm. Sometimes we just play strictly Quiet Storm right through from 12 to 1. Yeah. All right. Like I would say on my program, this is your musical medication to get you through the week, get you through the moments. So if you're with that favorite one, that special one, hold he or she tight. Just enjoy the vibes.